One of the other big hearings, and I was glad to see a massive turnout for this one, and that is a lot of people turning out to reject the proposed 60, I forget how many percent, increase in the gas and diesel tax. But Corey Lewandowski, who is the head of Americans for Prosperity New Hampshire, he joins us now to give us an update on that. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was sharing some of the comments that you were going to give yesterday before the committee. How did it all go?
Well, the good news was there was a strong turnout at the committee hearing. It was originally scheduled to be held in the Legislative Office Building, Room 201, but because of the big turnout, they moved it to Representative Hall. Unfortunately, you know, what this legislature is doing and continues to do is they want to hear from their friends, and so the committee chairman who wrote the bill and authored the bill, Representative Campbell from Nashua, spoke at length, and then they had every member who was a co-sponsor of this bill, this gas tax increase bill, come up and pontificate of why this is necessary, and then they allowed the commissioner of the DOT to get up and speak. So before they actually had any people who took time out of their day, who took time out of their jobs to come and testify, an hour and 45 minutes that hearing had already transpired. And the downside, is, as you know, is that the Northern Pass had that room at 1 o'clock, and mm-hmm. So it was a two-hour allotment of time, and really they just tried to run the clock out. They didn't want people who took time out of their day to come up and testify about what this is going to do to small businesses. But I can tell you this. It was loud and clear yesterday, very clear, that the governor is proposing in her budget the $280 million, which she'll receive if this bill goes through, is currently accounted for. And what that will do is force residents who are already paying historically high gas prices for this time, you know, in February. We've seen a 100% increase in gas costs in the last 4 years. When Barack Obama took office, gas was $1.84 a gallon. Today, if you can get it for $3.68, you're doing well. Diesel, $4.44 a gallon is what they're charging right now. You put an increase
more. I think it's more than that. I think it's more than $3.44.
No, $4.44. Excuse me, yeah. $4.44 for diesel. That's right, $4.44 a gallon right now. And if you put that increase in, which the Democrats are proposing right now, to increase this to a 67% increase over 3 years for gas and diesel tax, in addition to a car registration fee, which is going to go up another $15 over 3 years, you will literally be putting people out of business. People who can't afford to be out looking for work because they can't afford $5 a gallon gasoline, people who have businesses that rely on moving products from A to B, those costs are going to be passed on to the consumer. And what people don't understand is if they can, by some miracle of miracles, afford to put fuel in their vehicle and then drive to the store, they're going to wonder why the gallon of milk is more expensive than it was 3 years ago, or they're going to wonder why the loaf of bread is double the price, because all of the costs that those truckers are going to assume in an increase in gas tax is going to be passed on to the consumer.
Yeah, well, of course it is. But, you know, to go back on what you said about the process and how they stacked the hearing early on with the supporters of the gas tax proposal, gee, I've seen this happen before.
Well, Brian, you and I both know we've been through this. We've lived it. This is very, very similar to what they did with the LLC tax, the limited liability corporation tax hearing that we had seen about 3 years ago. It's amazing how things are cyclical. And with the Democrats, and look, I don't want to be partisan here, mm-hmm. but with Representative Campbell out forcefully advocating that, you know what, everyone needs to pay their fair share. I heard it time and time again yesterday.
I am paying my fair share. I commute 30 miles each way to work and then some.
Well, here's my problem. You know, the commissioner of DOT got up and said, you know what, we're very cautious about raising taxes, but it's important to borrow money. Well, commissioner, last time I checked, you have a state-issued vehicle which pays with state gas, which you don't have to pay for. You know, the governor is the same way. So for these people to truly understand what it's like to work in the private sector, to have to pay for your own fuel and your own insurance and don't have a driver every day, it's just mind-boggling that they're willing, that they not only are willing but want to increase the gas costs, increase the diesel costs, and say, well, you need to pay your fair share. We are paying our fair share, and our fair share is too much.
You know, we have the diesel tax as part of this equation. That part escapes a lot of the headlines because you have a lot of people who work in the timber industry that rely very heavily on it, and their profit margins are very thin as it is right now. So what happens when they raise the cost of that?
Well, here's what will happen, and, you know, I can tell you that our honorary chairman, Tom Thompson, testified at the hearing yesterday with his grandson, Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason his son couldn't be there is because he owns a timber company, and he was out trying to make a living yesterday and couldn't take the day off from work to come down to Concord from Orford, New Hampshire, and talk about what this diesel cost will do to his vehicles. And, you know, we heard it time and time again that those truckers need to pay more money because they use more of the roads and they have more wear and tear on the roads. Well, let me tell you from a small business perspective. Here's what the assault is doing. The governor's budget is putting seven more DRA, Department of Revenue Administration, auditors on so that they can go out and generate $26 million more dollars in taxes to help pay her budget off.
And we've seen this before.
That is a direct assault on small businesses. A direct assault.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got small business owners who are trying to make a living in the timber industry who literally have no more profit margin to go if they're going to increase this diesel tax, and they've got two choices. They can start laying people off, or they can close their business. And I thought we were about economic freedom here. And I thought we were about, you know, the backbone of the New Hampshire business has been small businesses. We don't have Fortune 500 companies here. We've got small businesses. And we are now, once again, doing everything possible to ensure that those small businesses pay more than they need to, that they have to be more compliant than they should have been, and if not, we're going to regulate you right out of business. That's what this legislature wants to do.
Yep, exactly. So you have that. Not only do you have the gas tax, the diesel tax, and the increased motor vehicle registration staring us square in the face, then they decided they wanted to propose a 25% increase in one of the taxes on heating oil.
Well, and again, Brian, you know, if you look at the people who are most impacted by these costs, maybe it's not the guy who goes to work every day. It's the fixed income elderly people who don't get that who don't get a raise, who have no opportunity for a raise, who still have the same bills. And when you increase their home heating oil costs by 25 cents or 25%, which is a 25-cent increase, so the state can spend more money, where do those people go? You know, you're on a fixed income. They can't go and look for more work because they can't afford to put fuel in their car. They can't put heat in their home because they can't afford the 25% increase. There is an assault, a war on energy here in New Hampshire that the government thinks that every time you turn your light switch on, you should pay more money. They want to lower the amount of RGGI credits available so they can generate more money from another failed program. And then we see that the Northern Pass issue is still moving forward for a program which does not benefit the residents of New Hampshire. We're very clear about that, that, you know, that Northern Pass issue, and I know that this is going to become an issue in front of the Commissioner of Dredd when he comes before the council on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
that he has been a proponent of that. We need to make sure we're holding people accountable, that we cannot afford increased energy costs when we're struggling to recover from this, what has been a terrible economy.
Exactly. In fact, that commissioner hearing is tomorrow, the public hearing of it, 5:30 p.m. in the Executive Council Chambers, which is in the State House. And we're talking about Jeff Rose, the governor's nominee to head Dredd, who a lot of people in the business community seem to support him, but he's come out in favor of the Northern Pass project. And one of the things that I heard over and over again yesterday, Corey, was how high our electricity rates are, even though we are a net exporter of electricity. And we can take a look at the most recent increase on the PSNH bills, and a lot of that is tied directly to RGGI.
Well, that's right. And look, we have seen that if this was a successful program, New Jersey never would have extracted themselves from it. But the bottom line is it's been a failure. Governors of both parties, Republicans and Democrats, have stolen the RGGI money and given it to, you know, politically connected corporations, whether it's, you know, the Dannon Corporation or it's Dartmouth College or, you know, Public Service of New Hampshire. They have taken ratepayer money and used it for their own energy efficiency upgrades, which I believe companies of that size and that magnitude should fund out of their own revenues and not out of ratepayers. So every time you turn on your lights, you're going to pay an increased fee. And Public Service of New Hampshire, they interviewed one of their employees just last week about this, and he admitted very candidly that, yes, this is going to cost you more money. And I think it is time for people to stand up and say, stop charging us more money to get to work every day. Stop charging the small businesses more money to comply with the new DRA commissioners they're putting on so that we don't get fined. Stop charging us more money to turn the lights on, and let us go and build our small businesses and medium-sized businesses so we can actually put people to work in our state and make sure our unemployment rate continues to be below the national average.
Absolutely. So what happens now with this gas and diesel tax proposal?
Well, the gas and diesel tax, the committee will go into executive session. It also needs to go to the Ways and Means Committee for a hearing. That's going to happen next week. and then they will go to executive session. Ultimately, the short answer is the bill will be voted on the House floor, and then if it is passed there, it will be sent over to the Senate side for additional consideration. But because the governor is supporting this bill, I can only speculate that the House will pass this bill. There are members of the Senate, both Republicans and Democrats, who are in favor of increasing the gas tax because they think it is something that, you know, is needed to continue to fund I-93 expansion. Here's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, everybody wants safe roads and safe bridges. There's no question about it. The question becomes, is this the right time right now with historically high gas prices? And we've seen gas prices in California already at over $5 a gallon. They are coming to New Hampshire. What does that do to the individual who's on a fixed income or who is just making enough to survive? Here's what I can tell you. Right before the election, Americans for Prosperity had the opportunity to roll back gas prices to $1.84 a gallon at one gas station in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not being facetious in any way, shape, or form. There was 250 cars in line that day to get fuel. Some of the people who were in line that day, I literally believe they were living in their vehicles because that's how desperate people are right now. They are literally living paycheck to paycheck or have nowhere to go. And rolling back that gas price to $1.84 a gallon allowed them to keep $20 more of their paycheck or of their money in their own pocket. And that is what truly will stimulate the economy. That is what's going to help people go out and keep looking for work. This is a declining revenue stream. The more you put in the gas tax, the less people will drive.
Mm-hmm.
But they clearly don't understand that. So we need to hold people accountable, and now's the time to do that.
Very good. Well, Corey Lewandowski, thank you very much for joining us with that update. And how do people get more information on this?
The best thing to do is come right to our website. It's AmericansForProsperity.org. That's www.AmericansForProsperity.org. You click on the state chapter. You come to New Hampshire. You'll see all of our information on there. You can email us. Our phone number is on there. And sign up for our email list, and we'll make sure we keep you updated every week.
It's very, very important because you have a lot of other things that you're following as well.
Well, Brian, there are so many, and, you know, I could get into all of them, but the gas tax is a really important one, obviously. The governor's budget's a disaster. And one last thing,
yep,
which it's really important to talk about, is the education tax credit bill, which the Democrats want to take money away from the potentially poor and underprivileged kids to go and apply for that tax credit. This is shameful. This was a bill that was passed last year to give underprivileged children an opportunity to attend whether a public school or a private school or a Catholic school, the opportunity to collect some money through a tax credit program, not a voucher, a tax credit. And the Democrats on a party line vote from the Ways and Means Committee last week, and I'm sure today on the House floor, are going to repeal that bill, and it's going to go over to the state Senate because it's supposed to be about the children, but it's only about the children when it's about the Democrats. And I'm really sorry to say that, but this is a bill that they should not repeal.
Gotcha. Corey, thank you very much. Pleasure chatting with you as always.
Take care, Brian.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.